From the studios of Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. The brilliant educator Nancy Tarshis is my guest. She's a leading voice in a welcome trend in education called social thinking. She travels all around the country talking about it. Her latest project is a multimedia curriculum for young children, preschool and early grades, called The Incredible Flexible You. It's a pretty amazing attempt to change the world as we know it, and I asked her to talk to us about it today. Nancy Tarshis, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Hi, how are you, Gary?
I'm good, thank you. Good to talk to you. So start by telling us what social thinking is all about.
Social thinking is the thought process we go through anytime we're with somebody else. It's, I think about you, you think about me, I think about why you're near me, I think about what you might want from me, I think about what you're thinking about me, and I adjust my behavior based on the kind of thoughts I want you to have about me. And we all do this all the time, seamlessly, kind of runs like background printing on a computer. It just happens. We don't even notice that we're doing it.
Now, you've been a speech pathologist. You've been working, you know, primarily with what you have, autistic students, students with learning disabilities. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's not just autistic students. It's students with language learning disabilities, students with attention deficits, kids with many other genetic disorders. It really, social cognition and social learning challenges really crosses diagnostic boundaries.
Well, in all the time that I've spent in education, and I've been a teacher, in addition to being a fabulous radio personality, I've also been a middle school teacher for 23 years.
Right.
And it seems to me that almost all of the special programs that they have created for special ed kids and sheltered learning kids, those are all programs that pretty much every student would benefit from. Do you feel that way about your curriculum?
I definitely do. I definitely do because, well, for lots of different reasons. When we're looking at little ones and little ones in this generation, in this time in history, we're talking about a very different group of preschool and early learners. And they're different in a lot of ways for many reasons. I mean, I don't know if you've had the experience yet of taking out an iPhone and having a 2-year-old start using their index finger to flip screens or to make it, using two fingers to make it bigger or smaller, all those nice little gestures we do on our iPhones. Kids are spending gads of time on screens. And the thing about screens, where there is certainly a lot that can be learned from a screen doesn't adjust its behavior based on what you've done. The screen doesn't give you any social feedback. And because of that, kids are not, you know, they're not spending as, because they're spending so much time on screens, even screens with other kids, what they're not doing is spending a tremendous amount of time in those lovely, let's see what happens, let's share our imagination and pretend something experiences that we know nurture good social interactions. It also nurtures vocabulary and literacy and language development. You know, play is so crucial and kids are playing less.
When I was a little kid, radio had become a thing of the past except to have records on it, and television was in,
mm-hmm.
And my parents lamented, you know, the loss of radio and said, you kids, you know, you used to have to use your mind's eye, and you have to create and imagine, now you're stuck with this idiot box, and look what it's doing to you. And, you know, we're okay. how is that any different than what you're talking about?
I think this is very different. And I think it's very different just in sheer volume. So when we watched TV, there were a certain number of channels. Even if your parents were the type that let you watch TV after school, let's say, maybe you watched an hour or two. Maybe you watched three. If you add up the amount of time kids are spending in front of screens, looking at their cell phones, playing video games, watching television, watching Netflix, even doing their homework in front of a screen, there's much less time spent in creating a picture in your brain and sharing that picture with somebody else.
So now that that's been going on for, I don't know, probably a generation or close to it, how does that manifest itself in older students or post-school citizens?
Well, the research is kind of interesting on that. We are seeing that the numbers of children being kicked out of preschools is growing.
How do you get kicked out of preschool?
Behavior.
Uh-huh, I see.
And you know, the way that things are going, I mean, teachers are essentially saying, this kid is so bad I can't even teach him or her. And kids are being kicked out of preschools. Or arriving at kindergarten and just incapable of learning in a group. So then school districts are spending fortunes hiring paraprofessionals to shadow these kids, you know, in the classroom because they can't learn in a group. So there's another adult sitting next to them essentially mediating their experience or pulling them out of the classroom, or it's kind of reached epidemic proportions to a degree.
So one of your solutions is this curriculum that you and a bunch of other people have put together, and it's called The Incredible Flexible You. Tell us a little bit about this thing.
Well, first I want to say their names.
Okay,
Ryan Hendricks, Carrie Palmer, and Michelle Garcia Winner. And the curriculum is based on the work of Michelle Garcia Winner, who really is the guiding light, seminal thinker behind social thinking. These are her core concepts. This is her brainchild. And what we've done is taken those core concepts of social thinking and we have aged them down and made them accessible and appropriate for young learners. We've distilled what's most important for this age group, because social thinking really began with kids who were, you know, 6, 7, 8, really 8 years old and up. And what we've done is taken it down. People have been clamoring for a preschool curriculum for years and attempting to kind of distill the concepts themselves. And so what we've done is done that for them. And because it's early childhood, we've created stories and storybooks that introduce the concepts. And so there are 10 lessons. There are 2 volumes of the book. You have the first volume. The second volume comes out, hopefully, early winter 2014. And so the first volume is 5 lessons, 5 concepts, 5 storybooks, and what we haven't mentioned yet is the music. There is also a CD of songs that was written to enhance and elaborate on the concepts. So for every lesson, there is a book and a song.
We're talking with Nancy Tarshis, and she's talking to us about this curriculum that she and some other people have put together called The Incredible Flexible You. CD, the singer, is Tom Chapin, who's had a long career as a singer and songwriter and singer of songs for kids and was on the National Geographic Channel and had the program Make-A-Wish. And the CD is co-written and produced by Phil Galdston, one of our previous guests here on From the Bookshelf, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, producer. Actually, we could just take a moment and listen to a track. Which song should we play, Nancy?
Well, I love Body in the Group.
Everybody has a body. Keep your body in the group. Everybody has a body. If it's 1, make it 2. Make it me and you. If it's 2, make it 3. You and you and me. If it's 3, make it 4. 'Cause 3 could use 1 more. If it's 4, make it 5.
Bring this group alive.
Everybody has a body. Keep your body in the group.
day, work and play in the group.
Make it seven if it's six. Do it just for kicks. If it's seven, make it eight. Eight is always great. If it's eight, make it nine. Nine is really fine. If it's nine, make it ten. Then start it all again.
Everybody has a body. Keep your body in the group. We found our way. Now let's stay. Work and play in the group. Eyes and noses, fingers, toes.
Oh, we were listening to a song from the incredible Flexible You CD performed by Tom Chapin. Nancy Tarshis, tell us now, how would that song be incorporated into a lesson?
Well, body in the group is one of the concepts, and body in the group speaks to the idea of staying connected and also proximity. So we teach our kids that if you have your body in the group, it means you're not too close and not too far, and that when you have your body in the group, it communicates to other people that you want to be with them, that you want to do what they're doing, you want to be part of the group, and you want to do it together. And body in the group is just the loveliest, sweetest song that tells us that, you know, it's a counting song, so it relates to young children, and it talks about just those things, keeping your body in the group. That's the tagline.
And the song was written by Tom Chapin and Phil Galston, who has been a guest here on the From the Bookshelf. You know Phil, I understand.
I do. He's my husband.
No, he's great. We had a good time talking to him a while back.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us more. We got body in the group. We have whole body listening. And by the way, Nancy Tarshis, I'm listening with my whole body as you're talking to us about it.
So you've got your hands quiet, feet quiet. You're thinking with your eyes. You're facing the group, right? Bottom in the seat?
Yes. Yes,
all
ma'am.
Right.
Yes,
all right. Ma'am. That is another wonderful song, by the way.
You know, the thing is, I know that you've intended this for, you know, preschoolers and kindergartners, but I also teach college. I teach film appreciation at Monterey Peninsula College, and my film students don't have any idea how to do any of this stuff. When you put when either you're lecturing or putting a movie on, they don't know this.
Well, I understand that. I was one of my friends, actually, I think it was Ryan who said this. When we teach, Ryan sometimes tells the story of how a teacher said to a group of kids, I'll know you're texting in class even if you think I don't, because nobody smiles into their lap.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's been now, you know, not only years of phones and texting, but also years of standardized testing.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. And the problem with years and years of standardized testing is the amount of time that schools are spending prepping kids for testing, because No Child Left Behind set up a standard where our teachers, our schools, our school districts, our administrators are being judged by the performance of their students. There are places in this country where teachers are hired and fired based on how well their students do on standardized testing. Now, I don't know about you, but if my feet were being held to the fire in that way, I would be pretty sure that my students were going to be successful. And the way that, you know, some teachers believe to, you know, what they need to do to make their kids successful is to do test prep. I think the research shows that that's in fact not what we need to do, but it is what they are doing.
The parents of preschool and kindergarten students today are people who have gone through the education system under No Child Left Behind.
That's very true.
So how are they, in terms of being receptive to what you're doing. Does what you're doing require parental buy-in and support?
It doesn't necessarily. It depends upon where the curriculum is being utilized. It doesn't require buy-in necessarily if it's being utilized in public schools as it is, because of course parents don't necessarily have to pass on a curriculum if it's part of the, you know, the classroom curriculum. Parents aren't given the option to say, oh no, don't teach my kids that. If it's done in a private clinic, then yes, parents have to buy in because they vote with their pocketbook. So it depends. But we found that this really speaks to parents. And it speaks to parents because they're seeing change. I think that's the most important piece, that they're actually seeing change in their kids.
What kinds of changes will they see?
Well, I had a mother speak to me about a 5-year-old that I've been working with, and he's very challenging. He's a terrifically bright, wonderful kid, but he's very, very challenging. He tends to be argumentative. He doesn't like, you know, he really wants to do his own thing. He's quite verbal, and yet he doesn't really want to necessarily talk about what you're talking about. He's one of those kids who was close to being kicked out of his preschool classroom, in fact. And when we started using the curriculum with him, as part of the curriculum, we have family letters that outline what the concept is, why it's important, why we're working on it, and what a parent can do at home. And when we got to the group plan, his mother began to use that language with him, which what I love about the concept of the group plan, which is merely that anytime you're with another person, you're in a group and, you know, the group has a plan. Anytime you're doing things together, there's a plan. And so this boy, his mother would call him and call him and call him and call him to come to the dinner table. And if he was involved in something he wanted to do, he refused to come. And his mother started saying to him, you know, the group plan is to have dinner right now. You need to come to the table. And he would jump right up and come to the table. Now, it doesn't always work that well. But what it does, what the vocabulary does, is it triggers a thought. And it triggers a thought process that then triggers a behavioral response.
Triggers a thought process. How does that work?
Well, so here he is. I'm playing with my Legos. I'm enjoying playing with my Legos. This is my plan right now. Mm. I'm playing with my Legos. His mother calls him to the table and says, you need to come to dinner. You need to come to the table. So what she's giving him is a directive. And he's not one to blindly follow directives. So he decides, well, I really want to do my Lego, so that's what I'm going to do. Then his mother reframes the concept for him. Oh, well, you know what? You're part of this family group, and the group plan right now is to eat dinner, which is not a directive. It's part of a, in a sense, it's an expected schedule. So when you're in a group, you know, there are a list of activities that the group is going to do. And one of the things we find with our kids, in fact, is that when they know what's coming, when they know what's expected, when they know what the schedule is, they do much better because in a certain way they can fit themselves into it because they can, you know, they can adjust themselves. You're not suddenly interrupting them. They know they're going to be interrupted because they know at a certain point the plan is to have dinner.
A lot of your curriculum, The Incredible Flexible You, is about making students, children, self-aware to a certain extent, right? About what it is they're doing when, not just what they're doing when they're walking and talking, but what they're doing when they're thinking.
Yes. It is in fact, making, concretizing this very abstract idea of thought and thinking.
What you're doing when you're thinking. So how does that one lesson work?
Well, we try to work with visuals. So we try to create visual cognates that will help kids to see a thought. So, you know, we're on radio. I'm going to have to describe it. So essentially what we do in this, in thinking thoughts and that first lesson is we make thoughts something that happens out loud. So I take a very big a picture of a thought bubble and I laminate it and I attach it to a ruler. So I have this nice big thought bubble and I put it over my head and I say, oh, I'm thinking about, I look at something, because again, that's something we teach later on, but we teach the idea that what you're looking at is what you're thinking about, which is frequently the case, especially with young children. We don't get sophisticated in pretending or socially faking until we're a little bit older. So, you know, I will look at something in the room and I'll say, oh, I'm thinking about something red. And then they can follow my eyes to what I'm looking at and say, oh, you're thinking about the ball. So we make the thought process and the language of thought something we do out loud.
Got fingers to snap, two hands to clap, 10 toes to tap, but your brain is where you think a thought. You got legs to walk,
left, right,
a tongue to talk,
blah, 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 blah.
You can walk and squawk,
uh-huh.
But your brain is where you think a thought. You got a mouth to drink, two eyes to blink, one place to think,
oh.
And your brain is where you think a thought. You got ears to hear,
what?
Whoever's near,
who?
Still it's very clear,
yes, sir.
That your brain is where you think a thought. It's like a picture there, it's underneath your hair, it's where you think, and thinking happens quick. It's like a magic trick, it's like Shazam.
Where you think a thought, where you think a thought.
Every day you grow, there's new stuff to know, new thoughts that flow in your brain when you think a thought. If you think it through, it might occur to you that I'm thinking too. My brain is where I think a thought. It's like a picture there, it's underneath your hair, it's where you think, and thinking happens quick. It's like a magic trick, it's like Shazam. So go on and think,
oh.
And if we think in sync,
oh. Oh.
We'll form a link,
cool.
To the thoughts up in our brains. We got a nose to smell, we got a story to tell,
blah, 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 blah.
Now we know darn well,
yes, sir.
But our brain is where we think a thought, our brain is where we think a thought, our brain is where we think a
And that was Where You Think a Thought by Tom Chapin. And that song is from the Incredible Flexible You CD. It's all part of a new curriculum called the Incredible Flexible You, which was created by Ryan Hendricks and Carrie Zwieber-Palmer and Michelle Garcia-Winner and my guest, Nancy Tarshis. I like the record. The record is really wonderful.
I love the record, I have to say. I know I am married to one of the artists who both wrote and produced the record, but it's really fun. I love using it with the kids that I work with. Both Carrie and Ryan have their own little laboratories at home in that they both have 3-year-olds, and so Carrie in particular spends a ton of time in her car. She lives in Minnesota. And I have lots and lots of wonderful videos of her son singing along to the music. And I have to say, my favorite quote of all time was the day he looked up from the back seat and said to his mother, that Tom Chapin sure is excited.
Well, you know, the album is produced with a lot of care, considering, you know, that it's just for kids. You know, they didn't have to put all this, they didn't have to have Nile Rodgers playing on it.
True.
But it's really great, and it's a very well produced and a beautiful little CD. So now, Nancy Tarshis, I want you to tell everybody where they can find the incredible Flexible You series and where they can find the CD and all this stuff.
They can find it at www.socialthinking.com, which is the website home of Social Thinking. They will also find a tremendous amount of interesting free material all about the concept of social thinking and many other products that are, if this is a concept that lights anybody's fire, they'll find a tremendous amount of information and products on that website.
Well, I sure enjoyed looking at all of it and listening to the music and talking to you. Thank you so much for being with us on From the Bookshelf.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's edition of From the Bookshelf. I hope you had a good time and that you'll come back and see us again next week. In the meantime, check out our podcast page at fromthebookshelf.com. You can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, and you can find us on Facebook. I want to thank my guest educator, Nancy Tarshis. You can find out more about her incredible Flexible You series by visiting www.socialthinking.com. From the Bookshelf is produced by Francis Venegas. Thanks, Francis. I'm Gary Shapiro. See you next time.